This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. Presented by Mosing Motor Cars. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are fired up because we've got some racing to talk about. I know it's a little bit off season, but we're going to talk a little Formula One, and we're going to talk a little IMSA racing because we got a live guest coming on. As opposed to what kind of guest?
Anyway, I don't know.
This is John Massengill. That's Les Kaiser.
Oh yeah.
Jonathan Green is not in the studio because he is down in New Zealand.
Still down under.
Toyota Racing Series. So we got some interviews from Jonathan, and we're going to have those for us tonight as well. And our guest tonight, we are going to have a gentleman who is, he was said to us from the boys over there at Speed Group, Gustavo Yakaman, who's been racing for a while now in both, he's done a little open wheel and he's done some sports cars. And he is going to join us at about 30 minutes at 7:30. So we're excited to have him live on the show tonight. And as you can tell, my voice is a little rough. We're in the Cedar Fever capital of the world, Austin, Texas. So battle through it tonight. But Les, we got lots to talk about. Honestly, there's a ton of stuff happening in Formula One. Everything, I mean, I say a ton of stuff for the off season. There is anyway.
Well, you know, we're getting ready we're going to have some reveals, some of the car reveals coming up, and then we'll start some testing. I am ready for this. You know, there was some noise. Toto Wolff doesn't sound like he's quite ready for it. He seemed honestly genuinely nervous about where they stand at this time.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't blame him. I mean, it's a new start of a new season. You never know what's going on. Ferrari did pretty good last year trying to catch him. You know, it's beginning of a new season. They should feel nervous. That's why you stay on top of your game.
Yeah. That would be, it would be unusual if they didn't. But, you know, the one thing that I hope his nervousness is not unfounded, because I hope somebody else steps up and takes it to these boys at Mercedes.
Yes, we do need that.
You know, it's too predictable. And so I'm ready to see folks take off and really give them a run for their money. What technology do you think they're going to use to do that? Do you think somebody else is going to split the turbo as Mercedes has done?
I don't know. On the technology standpoint, I don't know if it's going to be that, if it's going to be, you know, reliability, if it's going to be aero, or, you know, everybody just figuring out a bit. But I don't know. I don't know for sure if a technology thing is going to be the thing that pushes somebody ahead of or catches Mercedes. That's pretty hard to say that somebody could beat Mercedes this year, but I suppose it could happen.
I want to say, you know, it needs to happen. It should. And obviously everybody's trying to make it happen. Everybody. And so I don't know what to do with that, but I still believe that split turbo is underutilized. I think more teams ought to be doing that, and separating the intake from the compressor side just seems like it's an obvious quick acceleration point or quick improvement for them.
Well, we'll see what happens with that, but I also want to talk about halos and windscreens, because on the IndyCar side, they've got the windscreen, and I mean, it's a no-brainer that it looks better than the Formula One halo solution, because it looks like, I mean, it looks like some of the older race cars, you know, that the IndyCar halo is a step in the safety direction that doesn't look like crud like the F1 does.
Right.
But who's to say which one is better? Now, I did see a tweet from Santino Ferrucci. He tweeted a couple days ago. He said, I got to sit in the new FIA F2 car with the halo. He said, car is stunning, and honestly, you don't even notice the halo while sitting in the cockpit. He said, with the halo painted, halo doesn't look bad at all. I'm still a believer that it is not essential, but safety is safety.
Yeah, no, I think that's a smart approach. Yeah, it's hard to argue with anything that is safety conscious in my book. So that's good, though. I'm glad to hear him say that it kind of disappears from a driver's view.
I mean, I know you can see he's young, enthusiastic, ready to get in a race car, but obviously he's right that in the, when he wraps that up saying safety is safety, and we don't know what tests have been done. And I don't know about you, but as soon as I saw the IndyCar windscreen, I immediately thought of Justin Wilson.
And, oh, yeah.
And I'm certain that was a big driver of pushing that. For. I mean, I know all the series are always thinking safety, and especially in an open wheel like that, something, a step in the right direction. But if that can prevent another death like Justin Wilson's, then, hey, that's great. And especially if it... And it, obviously, if it looks good, that's great too. But it's funny when you say that, when you say prevent a death, it almost doesn't matter what it looks like. As I say it, it feels kind of silly saying, I hope it looks good, because if it's safe, then I don't really care.
Yeah. I mean, you know, honestly, a car looks better without a roll cage in it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, good point.
I'm not going to argue about that. But yeah, it's a good thing. You know, we're moving in the right direction. You know, we can think of a handful of drivers that might be with us had we've gone to this extent just in the past 10 years. And whether it's IndyCar or Formula One, open wheel is a dangerous sport. So that's...
no doubt. Well, so what else we got on the Formula One side? There is the grid girl story. And, you know,
we've got a serious thing that needs to be addressed. And if you've ever heard Jonathan Green commentating... At least a little while back, he depends on grid girls. He seriously depends on grid girls.
Do we have that clip? I wonder if our producer can dig that clip up of Jonathan using the grid girls to tell the weather. There you go. I'm not going to give it up until he can find it. But I really, when I first heard it, my instinct was, I'm glad they did it. I'm glad they got rid of it, because, I, when I'm in the paddock and I see these girls, the thing that bothers me the most is that they're all so, so young. That's what bothers me. And I think, like you said before the show, you have three daughters. I have a daughter. I think that's what bothers me about it.
Yeah. And that's one of those things. I agree. I think when you're a parent of a daughter, I think you look at things a little bit different. You don't want them to be... I don't know, oogled over, you know, beyond a decent level of appreciation, respectable level of appreciation. And I think that comes into place. But those are one of the things that we'll get further into this later on. But
yeah, our producer just told us that we had our guest call in. So we're going to go straight to it. Welcome to the show, Gustavo Yakiman. Appreciate you coming on Speed City.
Hey guys, how are you? Good night. How are you doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
All good.
Well, I'm glad you pulled yourself away from some football game. I'm assuming there's something going on.
There's a football game?
Hey, we appreciate you coming on.
Man, I don't follow any sport that just requires one ball, as you know.
Okay, I'm stealing that line. I'm stealing that line.
Yeah, I'm with you, buddy.
All righty. Well, you've had a pretty good year this past year. We want to hear about it. Get us caught up with your most recent activities.
Hello.
Hey, we got you, Gustavo. We were just asking you, get us caught up about what you've been doing, you know, 2017 and 2018 coming up.
Yeah, well, 2017 was actually a pretty hard year for me. It started off doing Blancpain Endurance Series with Lamborghini factory team. And we weren't doing so well, and basically relationships ended up breaking apart with Team Lazarus. You know, the team wasn't spending enough funds in testing and development, and the Blancpain series is just so, so competitive. I mean, if you're half a second off, you're P20. You know, there's 40 cars in 1 second. It's super competitive, and you got to be on top of the game. And we were basically rounding in between, like, top 30. So basically relationships didn't end very well there. And I was very, very fortunate to find a very good opportunity with Team Graf over in Europe in ELMS. Tony Calderon from Speed Group made it all happen. And man, we killed it. Out of four races, we won two and finished fourth on another one. And I think like fifth or sixth on another race. So we did really, really well. The new Orica was amazing. It was just, man, so easy to drive. The team did a great job, no mistakes, and finished off the best way possible with two wins. So it was great. And, you know, that opened up the door to start working with AFS PR1. That relationship came up pretty naturally. And yeah, so basically our plan for this year is to run the full IMSA WeatherTech Sports Cars Championship. And we're going to be running a Ligier JSP 17. And no, what is it? Yeah, 17. Is it 17, 18? I can't remember, man. They just keep adding numbers to the car. And yeah, Daytona was a tough one. You know, we put the program together early to mid-December, so we were slightly rushing many things, and you know, it was a tough one. It definitely wasn't the best track for Ligier, but we believe that the new Conti tire and the other tracks will be a lot better for us.
Well, speaking of Daytona, I mean, that's a pretty fast turn to try to start getting work in December and do really well. So you guys, you know, that's, you got to give yourself a little slack for that. But was that your first time at Daytona?
No, it was actually my sixth time at the Rolex 24. The first time I did it was 2012, if I'm not mistaken, with Michael Shank, Felipe Nasr, and Michael McDowell. And we finished third overall that year, and that was the year that Negri won with Pew Almendinger and Justin Wilson. We had a pretty good car that year. The Riley Ford was very strong on BOP, and yeah, we killed it. It was pretty good year. After that, I did another year with the Riley Ford with Shank, and one of my teammates made a mistake, and we crashed out at like 6 a.m. in the morning. After that, I ran, the first Morgan. That was the year of the merger. So I ran one of the first LMP2 cars. We finished, we had an alternator issue. I can't remember where we finished, that year. And then, well, actually it was my fifth time. So last year I ran with the PC car with Bar One, finished on the podium. I can't remember third or fourth. And yeah, this year with PR1 was my fifth.
All right. Well, I knew that I was thinking you had raced at Daytona before, but I didn't know if it was the Rolex. But hey, Gustavo, can you hold on for just a quick second? We got to do a quick break for commercial. This will be a quick one. I'll get right back with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to Speed City live in Austin, Texas. And we'll be right back with Gustavo Yakiman after these messages.
And Ivy Augusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Augusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Augusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Augusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Augusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Mosing Motor Cars is Texas's only authorized dealer for Superformance products. Superformance's Mark III is the only Cobra replica built under license from Carroll Shelby. There's no finer example of a Cobra around. Mosing and Superformance is your supplier for all the great race cars of history. The GT40, the Mark III Cobra, the Corvette Grand Sport, and the Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe. Mosing Motor Cars, 2420 West Breaker Lane, online at mosingmotorcars.com. Superformance and Mosing Motor Cars. Drive yourself happy.
Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done or where you've done it or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
Catch up on the latest headlines anytime at talk1370.com.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
All right, we went to the break. We were talking with Gustavo Yakiman about his season so far. So, Gustavo, I mean, you guys just getting rolling this season, and I know you didn't have the Daytona, the Rolex that you wanted, but thinking about what's upcoming for you guys, where are you hoping that you, or where do you think you're going to do the best? I mean, obviously, you're hoping you're going to do well at every one of them, but with the strengths of the car and knowing the track's coming up, what are you thinking?
Well, I think Sebring's going to be pretty good for us. Especially, I like Sebring a lot, and I was able to get pole position there on the PC class. I mean, it doesn't mean much, but I just feel pretty comfortable at Sebring. I've done, back in my IndyCar, Indy Lights days, I did probably a million laps at the club short track at Sebring, so I feel pretty comfortable there. Long Beach will be a tough one for us, and then I think actually the car is going to be really, really good at Mid-Ohio. I think we will be very strong at Mid-Ohio. Watkins Glen, the car was really strong last year. It was very strong at Road America. Petit Le Mans, we were very strong. Let's see what other tracks we got. Detroit, you know, all the street tracks, I think our shock program is not very advanced compared to our competition, so we're going to struggle to keep the tires on the ground at all the street tracks. Let's see what else we got. Mid-Ohio, Road America, Laguna, we're going to be pretty good. I mean, any natural terrain road course, the smoother it is, the better it is for our car. The bumpier it is, the harder it is, but you know, it is what it is, and hopefully we'll be able to work with it and make it a little bit better.
Well, you know, I expect you guys to, I mean, the teams you're with and the experience you've had, I'm looking at all your experience. I expect you guys to do good, but do you think you'll be in a position to fight for podiums or even a championship or even close?
I don't think we're in a position to fight for the championship. I think we are in a position to fight for podiums, to fight for race wins. I think we definitely have a strong crew. Sebastian has really adapted really, really well to the car. I think all of us are surprised how well he adapted to it. He was very quick at Daytona. He drove, I think, like 9 hours and really did an amazing job. No wheels off, no mistakes all weekend. So I'm really excited to be working with him this year. He's doing amazing, and I think we'll be a strong driver lineup.
Well, that's good. Now, well, obviously, we wish you guys the best of luck on that. But, you know, I want to ask you something, if you don't mind. You know, there's this new the stories that have come up this season in IndyCar. They've got the new windscreen that they're testing. And in Formula One, of course, they're – and across the Formula Series, they have the new halo that everyone has been – it's been so controversial by the way it looked. And we were just talking about the windscreen about in IndyCar. And when I see that, I immediately think of Justin Wilson – dying in with a tire accident like that, and it seems trivial to worry about the way it looks when you think of it that way. But you as a professional driver, what do you think about these things, and do you worry about the way it looks? I mean, obviously, to me, you got to be worried about the safety aspect.
Yeah, I mean, I've got many friends in IndyCar, many close friends in IndyCar, friends in F1, and honestly, especially IndyCar and Indy 500, man, I'm so afraid of that race. And before the race, I don't just wish them a good result, but I wish all my friends well. It's a very nerve-wracking race. It's very, very dangerous, and anything you can do to add safety to it is a plus, and I'm sure all the drivers agree. You know, for the fans, yeah, the cars might not look as good. They might not look as sexy, whatever. But it doesn't matter. You know, in the end of the day, a life is worth more than anything else. And if you're going to keep my friends safe, if you're going to keep us safe, it's definitely worth it.
You know, it's something that we don't really talk about. We talk to, you know, drivers from Formula One to, you know, every level of racing, and then MotoGP. But it's gotten so safe that we forget. But like you said, the Indy 500, you know, you saw a couple of those crashes that they looked, I mean, these drivers, it looked like they were lucky that they walked away from some of those. And we forget that this is still a very, very dangerous sport. And you guys, you do put your life on the line.
Man, I tell you, that Dixon crash was very scary.
Yeah, that's the one.
And not only that one, the Davison crash involved a lot of cars, and it could have been ugly as well. You know, it's a lot of it is luck, man. I don't like to believe in luck, but once you're up in the air, and Dixon, it just wasn't his day. You know, if instead of hitting the side pod, that thing would have flipped all the way around and landed on his helmet in the catch fence, it would have been a Weldon story all over again.
Yeah,
right.
So it just simply wasn't his day, you know. It wasn't his day. The same thing with Kubica. You remember that crash?
Oh, yeah.
It was a massive one. And that just wasn't his day either. So,
Well, and I think of, the one that really strikes me around the Formula One recently is Fernando Alonso, where he goes sliding up against the wall head first, and he winds up there and he shimmies out of it to get out. And so that's one of those that I'm like, oh my gosh, that to me was probably one of the scariest, seeing him going head first for the wall.
It was definitely scary. So yeah, anything you can do to add safety to the sport, I'll take it. It doesn't matter if it looks ugly, if it, you know.
Yep.
Of course, you got to keep performance. I think it's very important to keep performance, but it's more important to have safety.
Well, I got to check in, looking forward. I know you were just here in Austin, apparently out at Cirque of the Americas, didn't call us. So explain yourself, young man. What were you doing out there?
Well, we got called by this family from San Antonio that has a bunch of supercars, and they just wanted to take them out and have some fun and be safe with them. And basically that's all it was.
Cool.
They called us out, me and Philippe Albuquerque, we're ripping out on some 488s, 720s, Huracan Performances. Just had a blast.
Now that sounds fun. Well, I know you've been getting quite a bit of experience in several different cars, and you had a go with some global rallycross cars. Are you serious about looking at some of these other genres of racing?
Man, anything that's got an engine, four wheels, and a steering wheel.
And more than one ball.
Yeah, and requires more than one ball. I am down.
I love it.
Well, Gustavo, we really appreciate you taking your time out on a Sunday night. Gustavo Yakaman, we appreciate you coming on Speed City, and we wish you the best of luck this season. And we'll catch up with you, too. We'll get you to call in again and maybe a mid-season update.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate the time. It was a pleasure being on the show with you guys. And anytime, I'd love to be back on the show.
You bet. Right. Travel safe, buddy.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye. He seems like
Get in a lot of trouble around him, I think.
Yeah, but I just like it. He says what's on his mind. There's no hiding there. I like that.
No, it's good. It's good. And, you know, I just thought it was cool that he has explored global rallycross, playing around in that last year. And I love seeing drivers go and venture into some of the different things. And we'll have to talk about Fernando Alonso as well. But talk about
speaking
somebody
of venturing.
Yeah, venturing out into a couple of different things. You know, he's already set for Le Mans, trying to get that all set. Sounds like he's going in 2018.
There's no doubt that Alonso's going to be racing in Le Mans. So, if it's not this year, it probably is. I think it's a done deal, looks like. But he's not getting what he wants in Formula One. At least he hasn't been recently. So we'll see about 2018.
And, here's my concern. You know, we talked about the changes from 2017 to 2018. One of those was reducing the number of engines that'll be used without penalty. My issue around that are for these lower budget teams that don't have the best engines or technology or whatever. And Honda, if you go into this, Honda suffered something like 375 grid penalties.
Grid spot grid places. Penalties.
Really? Are you just going to penalize them more? I don't know what the answer is to help out these lower performing vehicles. Not everybody can have a Mercedes or Ferrari power plant. Mercedes had zero grid place penalties related to engine in 2017.
Wow,
Ferrari
really?
Just had a few. Huh. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
And so, you know, it's one of those things. Honda, like I said, over 350 grid places. So I don't know what the answer is for these guys, but I feel like Honda's got a death spiral going on this past year.
Death spiral.
Yeah. Kill the motor, kill a few more grid spots.
All right. Well, on the death spiral note, we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more Formula One, and we're going to hear from the Haas F1 team a little bit. And also later in the show, we got an update from Jonathan Green. He just sent it in. And an interview from one of the drivers down there at the Toyota Racing Series. So you're listening to Speed City Live in Austin, Texas. We'll be back after these messages.
The racetrack. It's where legends are born. Where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey. Because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road. Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe, on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done, or where you've done it, or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
Roger Hayden, Factory Yoshimura Suzuki. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
Not much two-wheel talk lately, but we've been hearing some Roger Hayden and some other motorcycle guys.
Hopefully
come
we'll
back
get
from
some
break.
True testing going on. Haven't heard a lot about anything really going on for MotoGP at the moment, but we shall see.
All right, well, let's talk some more Formula One. I was looking at this story about the new times. It's interesting. I got excited about the first one because, I mean, this is very selfish of us. I was going to say shellfish. This is very selfish of us as a broadcaster because when we do the radio broadcast of the Formula One race here in Austin every year, we usually start our broadcast right at 2 o'clock.
Right.
Which means we have about 15 seconds before the race actually starts. Like literally we go on the air and we go, we're out at Circuit of the Americas, and here we go. The race is on. So this year, all the races are going to start at 10 minutes past the hour.
And I think that's a good idea for several things. And actually, they highlight one of the things is you get an opportunity to see the driver lineup, maybe a quick grid walk, a quick little intro, how qualifying went. You get 10 minutes to capture that and then go into the formation lap.
And then go.
And then go. So, yeah, I'd really like to see that maybe even go to 15 minutes, to be honest.
Well, the other big part of this story was the fact that they're going to shift the times for a bunch of races, including here in Austin.
That's right. United States Grand Prix is set to start at 1:10 p.m. This year. And so that's, it used to be 2.
It's always been 2, yeah.
That's going to be a little bit earlier in the day. I think that's going to change a few things. The idea, though, is that provides more of an audience away from these time zones that we're here stateside. And so those of you that listen from across the pond, if you will, it's going to be more appeasing for you because it'll be about an hour earlier. And I think that's a smart move as well as they try to build up. As well, you know, that's a good time for getting an American audience. Everybody gets home from church or their morning outing or their, you know, you and your yoga thing, John. And
that's right. When you John think of me, you think of yoga, right?
Yeah. Jonathan gets to wake up from the night after. And so
he's probably listening, you know, down in New Zealand. We are going to get a report from Jonathan here in a few minutes.
I'm sure he'll have plenty to say.
Yeah. We couldn't get a good internet connection to have him live on the show down from the Toyota Racing Series, but he's going to send it. He sent us an update, and we're going to play that here in just a couple of minutes. But
so
anyway,
I think that's a big part of, you know, one other change. You got to talk, you know, the start of the race. It's not the start of a race without grid girls. As of 2017, but 2018, it looks like we're not going to have grid girls. You know, we talked about it. You know, you've got one daughter, I've got three. I understand wincing a little bit, you know, over it. It's the culture in the United States right now, definitely. Not to objectify women, of course, and we don't want to, especially. But I purposefully read a lot of comments and responses from women.
That's what I was doing, too. I was really, I was only searching for the women in motorsports and what they were saying about it.
And you know, I read one blog, if you will, from one of the girls that is a grid girl. And she said, this is part of my career. It's one of the things I do as modeling that, you know, she not only models for magazines and clothing catalogs and, you know, hair and makeup things, but she does grid girls, you know, not only Formula One, but other racing series, and that she looks at it as it is her career quite so. And so she says, you just took away a week of work from me. From the week around Formula One that she's busy and attending.
Do you know how old that girl was that was on the blog?
I do not.
Would you guess that she was?
I know a lot of the girls here at Circuit of Americas that I've known over the years have been anywhere from like seniors in high school and older. They have to be 18 years old at a minimum. And but generally, I'll say you probably don't see them over the late 20s, if that. And so understand that maybe 21 years old would be a little more appeasing. One of the others said, if you look at the wardrobe of recent years, it's not nearly as revealing as you saw in the 70s and, you know, all of that. And so, it was a slideshow showing the apparel. And I'll say, you know, quite honestly, it's very played down. But yes, nonetheless, still somewhat objectifying a woman standing holding a numbered sign. Now, FIA WEC had a different answer.
Yeah.
They put guys out there too.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? I'm not really there for the grid girls or the grid guys. I just want to see solid racing and more competitive racing.
And I'm not even gonna say it, but apparently Bernie Ecclestone weighed in on it, and I don't care. So I'm gonna move on from that. So,
hey, so what about his ex-wives would say?
Yeah, what about the new minimum weights? We were talking about this before the show. There's talk about the minimum weights. Since my voice is going, I'm gonna let you talk about it.
Minimum weights. There's hope for me yet. There is hope for me yet.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to laugh that hard.
Yeah. I'll call HR later. All righty. So this year, a minimum driver weight will be 80 kilos. That's 176 pounds. Okay, I got to lose a little bit, but if you're going to pay me a couple of million a year to do this, I can shed 20 pounds.
Hey, if you make it to Formula One, you're making more than a couple of million.
Exactly. I can have liposuction three times a season if I need.
Well, did we ever figure out which of the drivers that would who's on the bubble? I mean, who's even close to that?
I only saw one driver's weight commented, and that was Felipe Massa at 65 kilos, which is 143 pounds. That's 33 pounds below minimum. And so you may ask, how are they going to deal with that? Well, in some racing groups, you actually have to have a combined weight of the car and the driver, and they manage it in that way. And when, by including the car in the equation, they can then ballast and weight load the car where they want. And so they'll move the cars around, they'll move the weight around, get it in different places. So that's one thing. But F1 apparently is going to address it a little bit different. The ballast must be added around the driver's seat and distributed similar to that of the human body. So, you can't say you've got an extra 30 pounds in your rear end, so it's down low. It's got to be distributed head to toe, apparently, in some manner.
Are the Kardashians racing? What are you talking about?
I don't know what to say about that.
All right, we're going to move on from that.
Let's do it.
I want to give Formula One some props, because we talked about this a little bit last year, but one of the things they're doing really good is social media.
Oh, you're talking about the quiz.
Yes.
The quizzes. Okay, this is fun.
Yeah.
And seriously, people, this is something y'all can participate in. I want y'all to, in fact. It's pretty cool, and it might knock you down a peg or boost you up on how smart you think you are.
Yeah, why don't we play, because the reason what made me think of this tonight is that what Formula One is doing on their YouTube page is they're interviewing people in the grid, and they're calling it F1 Grill the Grid. And they've had all the team bosses on and some other team executives. And this week they had Haas F1's Günther Steiner on. And so let's just play this from the Formula One YouTube page. You get an idea.
Hi, my name is Günther Steiner. I'm the team principal of Haas F1 team. And this is Grill the Grid. Haas is the first American F1 team since 1986. Who was the latest?
Ooh, did you get this
Beatrice,
one?
Beatrice, I think it was called.
Oh, I got this one.
Thank you. I think I got lucky here because my history in F1 is not very good. Mario Andretti was the second, but who was the USA's first world champion?
I can't believe you missed this one. I got this one immediately.
Bass. Bass. It wasn't Clark. No, he was Scottish, I guess. Yeah, okay. Who was it?
Phil Hill. Phil Hill. 1961.
Okay. Phil Hill.
It was Phil Hill.
Yeah, he shouldn't have missed that.
I did miss that one.
One is Van Dorn, I think.
Yes.
And
what they're doing now is they're showing a picture of two drivers meshed together in a screen, and you're guessing that one.
Okay.
That was kind of.
I wouldn't have got that.
Yeah,
one.
There's only a couple of visuals in this.
It's kind of silly.
Which of your 2017 drivers used to work in a bank? That's pretty easy for me. It's Romain Grosjean, obviously, because he wants always more money from me. So, he learned that one pretty well in the bank. So, well done for him.
That I didn't
Esteban Gutierrez scored no points in 2016, but how many times did he finish P11?
This one I got.
I think it was
six.
Oh,
yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah,
six.
Five.
Not
oh,
too five.
Yeah,
five.
I said five or six, five. But I would have five times
Name
in the 11th
helmet.
Place.
Okay, and they're showing a helmet.
Mika Häkkinen.
Very good, yes.
You were born in 1965. Who was world champion that season? Clark. You see? That's what I meant before when I said Clark. I just got confused. Which car was that in? You know? Oh, I got you now. You see? Ah, you see? Which of your 2017 drivers is freaked out by spiders? It cannot be one of the two, huh? I guess Romain. No?
No.
Kevin? That's good to know. So, you know, that's good to know.
Listen,
keep that up.
Yeah,
your
keep
sleeve.
That up. Yeah. But when he needs to get going, we tell him a spider is in the car. So, you know, that maybe it's a good trick. Name the driver.
No. Another visual.
It's René Arnoux.
Arnoux.
Very long
time
hair.
Ago. Yeah, very long hair. Yeah. In 10 seconds, name as many tracks as you can to host the European Grand Prix. Imola, Austria, Baku, I think, was the European Grand Prix. I don't need 10 seconds. I haven't got enough answers, you know, for 10 seconds. So,
so you're totally.
He doesn't know where he goes.
It's 5. What do you think of that?
Not very good, I guess, I think of it. But hey, my history of events is not very good, so I can live with that one, you know. If that's the only thing I don't know in life, I'm pretty happy.
Anyway, I know this wasn't anything, you know, revolutionary.
I just think it's fun to do.
Well, what I'm saying is that I'm glad to see that they're utilizing their YouTube account. And in the off season, what else are they going to talk about? I mean, there's...
Okay, but think of this business-wise. What do you want to do to engage or to build your following? You've got to engage your listeners and your enthusiast and your audience. And so this is a great one. Here's a way for you to, you know, go in there and compare yourself to Christian Horner on his series of questions, see if you can beat him at it. And it, you know, it does a couple of things. Not only does it engage your audience, it also improves the knowledge. Even if you get it wrong, you wind up seeing the right answer. So I think this is very wise. You know, the one thing that always sticks me how anti-social media that Bernie kept things was when Lewis Snapchatted from the paddock and he was told he didn't have a broadcast rights license.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
You know,
yeah.
Seriously?
All that's done, though. That's
and,
great news.
You know, to me, this is a great way of managing this. It's fun. Give it a shot. We'll put a couple of these out and see how things go.
Yeah, and just go to F1's YouTube page. It's the latest stuff right now. And if you haven't subscribed to that, do it, because they do have some really good clips during the season. My favorite thing on their YouTube page is, I mean, they've got really good race wrap ups. If you want to go back and watch the highlights of the race, they put those on YouTube. Which, you know, years past they wouldn't have even considered that. But they also have the radio, the best radio clips from Team Radio. They put those on the YouTube account.
So, not always FCC compliant.
Yeah, there's lots of bleeps in those. All right, well, let's go ahead and take another break. And when we come back, we are going to play that segment from Jonathan Green and down at the Toyota Racing Series. Do a little catch up, see what's going on down there. Listen to Speed City live in Austin back after these messages.
Augusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Augusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Augusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Mosing Motor Cars is Central Texas's source for classic performance cars. British, German, Italian, Japanese, and American. Ready for that special car you've always dreamed of? Mosing has you covered. Looking to sell a classic? Let Mosing handle all the details and get that special vehicle in the hands of the right buyer. Visit the showroom at 2420 West Breaker Lane or call 512-821-9491 or browse the garage online at mosingmotorcars.com. Mosing Motor Cars. Drive yourself happy.
Listen to your favorite shows. Keep up with the latest breaking news and more anytime at Talk1370.com. Talk1370, the right choice.
All
this is Jay Leno from JayLeno'sGarage.com, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
Welcome back to Speed City. When we left, we told you we were going to get an update from Mr. Jonathan Green, our third wheel on this show, and he is, of course, down in New Zealand for the Toyota Racing Series, and we're going to play.
You know who else is scared of spiders?
Jonathan?
And they're from New Zealand.
Who?
Brandon.
Oh, is
Brandon Hartley? Yeah.
Now, how do you know he's scared of spiders?
It was in one of his introductions to drivers.
I thought, well, he's been to COTA enough. I thought maybe he'd seen one of those Texas barking spiders out there.
You never know. New Zealand, hey, you know, all the racing's going on down south. We didn't even really talk about Bathurst 12 hours.
I know.
I tell you what, folks, you have to go online, and it's not always easy to find, but Nismo TV does provide some coverage, of the 12-hour race Bathurst. And think about an endurance race almost on the streets. The track is so narrow. The walls are two car widths away from the track.
You said the coverage ran out with just like 30 minutes
to
go?
Anyway.
Well, so, hey, were there any, I thought there were going to be some IMSA American drivers or IMSA drivers that we know.
There were just a mix of them. And right now I'm gone blank on exactly who it was because I did pick out a few names there. Timo Glock was there. We saw Timo. I was hoping to see a few others. You know, some of the Aussie V8 guys were obviously there. But
yeah, Jimmy Wincup's car apparently was leaking fumes inside him.
Yeah, got him dizzy.
Yeah.
But so, yeah. That's a race you got to check out. You know, I know we're north of the equator, but the racing's all down there right now.
Yep. Well, let's go ahead and Jonathan sent us a little segment and an interview. So let's start with the update from Jonathan.
Thanks, guys. Yes, we've just come back from the fourth round, the penultimate round of the 2018 Castrol Toyota Racing Series. And it was a great weekend in Taupo by the famous lake there, the volcanic lake. Beautiful conditions and very, very interesting because with only six races to go, it started to get a bit more intense as we expected it to do. The only man who hadn't really won a race that was contending for the championship was Robert Schwartzman, but he changed all that in the feature race. In the first race, America's Juan Manuel Correa got the first win of the weekend, and it really well done from the front row. He got a blinding start and never looked back. In race two, it was Brendan Leach, who raced in the US F4 Championship for Kiwi Motorsport last year, and he won by an amazing 15 seconds, so he was right in the zone, so to speak. And then finally in the feature race, the Denny Hulme Memorial Trophy, all carrying 75 points for a win. It was finally the Russian, Robert Schwartzman of M2 Competition, who won his first race in the series. Now, he's been on the podium several times, but he's just not won a race. But it was very important to him because now, with one round to go, there are just three races left. And the top three are split by less than a race win. That's Armstrong with 761, Schwartzman 33 points behind on 728, and then Richard Vachon on 701. I spoke to Schwartzman after he got out of the car, literally as he just got out of the car, straight after his race 3 win and his first in the series.
Congratulations, your first win in the Toyota Racing Series.
Well, it's really, really good feeling. Finally, we managed to win here. I think the car was just fantastic. All the race, I was really quick. The beginning was good. The point was just to make a good start. I managed to get a pretty good start, same as Marcus. Just, you know, keep it inside in the turn one. And yeah, and then I was leading. Then was safety car. It was a bit tricky because I never restarted from first position after the safety car restart, so it was a bit tricky. But anyways, I did everything right. Yeah, and then I just managed to get a good gap to Marcus. And yeah, that was just awesome. Matthew, thanks to team, SMP Racing and Ferrari Drivers Academy.
It's been a good weekend, consistent weekend. And you go into Manfield now with three races to go. And the top three are all split between less than a race win. And now you've got a feature race win.
Yeah, of course, it's going to be hard. Everybody's close. Now it's going to be a really good fight for the championship. But I think if the car will be the same good and like all the team work that they have done here will be the same, I think we can manage to win.
Celebrating tonight?
Yeah, of course.
Well done again.
Thank you.
You know, it's really surprising. This goes so fast. When the Toyota Racing Series starts and Jonathan goes down there, I always go, oh, man, it's going to be, you know, six rounds or five rounds, I think is what it is. And And I looked up, and we're now four of the five rounds done. There's really just those three races left, is what he
said. You bet. And, you know, I know we keep giving him the trip down there, but he's actually done it for long before us.
Yeah.
But it is a great series. I saw some other folks posting that while they were down there, and how much fun it is to see these guys coming up, the youngsters coming up. And so, like I said, hearing some of them talk about it, and, you know, it's just been really interesting to see these come up with, you know, Lando Norris, for instance. There he is, winding up sitting there at Daytona with Fernando Alonso. How cool is that?
Yeah, and obviously, and, you know, have you heard, I didn't, we tried to get Lando Norris on the show, but he had a brilliant Rolex.
Yeah, he did great.
Speaking of the Toyota Racing Series, you know, the Toyota 86 is, you know, the production car, the Toyota FRS here and the Subaru BRZ here, the little sports car. They have that series at the beginning, and they have these production-based cars, and they race those cars. And I learned a little history about the Toyota 86 this weekend from my son.
That boy's catching on. We're going to believe when he says he's your son now.
Yeah, he's turned into a gearhead, but he was telling me that he watches an animated show from Japan that he says, I wish I could remember the name of it, but it was a super realistic animated show. And, you know, like they were showing shots inside the cars and the tachometer and like,
right.
Well, the Toyota 86 goes back to this boxy, funky little, it was a four cylinder, but I guess the 86 currently is in spirit the same kind of car, because the balance is perfect, right? Everything is great about the car. It's just not very powerful. Well, the history of that car is the same way. Back in the 80s, they had a boxy little Toyota that they called the 86 back in the day that had an 8,000 RPM redline four-cylinder in it that made like 140 horsepower, 136 horsepower.
I envision this Ford Cortina kind of car, you know, the little British sedan from Ford, or, you know, who knows what.
You know what it looked like? Do you remember? I actually owned one of these. It was a 1982 Toyota Celica GTS.
Yep.
And that version looked like the Supra. This was when the Supras were starting to get interesting. You know, the first round of the Supra it was still cool with a big inline six and everything, but
with the fender flare extensions on it.
Mine this one looked kind of like that, but not as aggressive. But it, anyway, that was just a little side note on the Toyota 86.
Very cool.
But yeah, let's jump back to F1. We just got a couple minutes left here. I know you had a couple stories you want to talk about.
Hey, you know, there were some things going on around the F1 stuff where we talked about, you know, the differences that F1's making. For one, I think it's amazing, you know, what they're doing socially. But, you know, there was talk, you know, they decided they're not going to have the T spoilers that were at the back of the F1 car. But one thing, some interpretations of the technical specs are going to allow for rear winglets that would be positioned just below that area where that T-wing was. And
I wondered where the MotoGP winglets went.
Yeah, we know who Ducati sold them to. But and that's exactly what I went to, is they have control space of things that they can have liberty to you know, be creative in. And one of the things was adding some small little winglets to it. Whereas Williams actually had them on their car a time or two last year playing with it. And so I'm curious to see if anybody comes out with it. Certainly going to see what Adrian Newey does with that little creative space that's available now.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. But, you know, the biggest difference for me, I'm going to say, is we're getting rid of the wings. I mean, the T-wings. We're getting some engines. We got to get some engines up. I want to see some good engines. You know, I'd love to go back to 10s like all of us, but that's not going to happen. So here we are with turbo sixes.
Huge turbo sixes though.
Yeah, huge. Yeah.
Hey, one thing I definitely want to talk about. A lot of what we've said tonight has been about what Liberty Media has done. You know, I think for the most part, I mean, I think in the United States has been some pretty positive feedback. I've definitely seen some online, some social that not everyone is agreeing with what Liberty's doing. But the one thing I think they can't take all credit for this, but the F1 app, I have the iOS version, and it is phenomenal. I mean, it is a really, really, really good app, and it may be that it was in the Liberty era, but
I like the localization feature of it.
Yeah, that's just one little tiny thing. If you like during the race, for example, if you're using the app during the race, they have all of the radio transmissions. They put them in the feed, and you can play the radio transmissions and hear the entire radio transmissions. I thought that was cool. But you're right, the local time and all that, they've gotten better about making sure that you understand what time the races start, no matter where they are around the world. Obviously, that's a big deal when you flip open the app, you're like, wait a minute, when's it start? You want to know quickly. So they've gotten better about that. But overall, the app is a fun, it's by far, nobody's even close to having an app that approaches the Formula One app, and we got to give them credit for that. You know, we've given F1 pre-Liberty, we gave them such a hard time for digital and social media and all that, and we just trashed them because they were doing a bad job. But
well, I think that came from the top. The tone from the top was social media is not where our audience is.
Yeah, but I do think that maybe the app was pretty. In fact, the app was probably the best in class before right. Bernie left, but I think that he was looking at it going, that's just new technology. That's not social media.
Yeah.
So, but the app has definitely gotten much better. And if you don't have it, there's several levels that you can, I know you can get one for free. I think I've paid for the premium, the top line app in Formula One, but you can get the audio broadcast. And you know, this is a trend in all of motorsports that is, that just like MotoGP does, Dorna, where you can, if you get the app, you can watch all the races at your convenience on any app, on any device, whatever you got. So, all right,
boys, we're about to get absorbed more into it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna start wrapping it up here. I definitely want to make sure. Speaking of apps and technology and listening and how to listen, you know, obviously every Sunday night live at 7 o'clock Austin time here in Austin, you can listen to us. And, of course, you can go to speedcityradio.com. That redirects wherever we are live. That's where you find us. And, of course, we're real good on Facebook and Twitter and on SoundCloud. We're not that great on Instagram yet. When we get the time to be good at it, we'll kick that up a notch. But check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, and we will talk to you next Sunday night.
Ciao, y'all.
Hi, this is Jeff Gordon, and you're listening to Speed City.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.